talk some Arizona State football. Nobody better than our next guest does his thing. AZCentral.com, The Athletic. Follow along on Twitter using the handle at Doug Haller. Well, that was easy. Doug Haller, always appreciate the time. How are things with you?
Pretty good. It's a good time of year out here. We finally get fall temperature, so everything can wait.
Fall temperature there is what, 72?
I think it's right about 72 right now.
We get fall temperature. You get summer light. you know, I know, Doug, you also cover Arizona hoops. This is kind of a unique year. I mean, they're picked fourth in the preseason media poll. And, you know, obviously they lost DeAndre Ayton, Alonzo Trier, Rolly Alkins, the big guy, Ristic. I know it's just three games in, but what's your early read on what this Cat team looks like?
Well, I don't think, obviously their talent level's not as high as it usually is or has been in the past. I think their foundation right now are the Sean Miller staples. They play really hard, and there's a willingness to defend. I don't know exactly if they're going to be a great defensive team, but the willingness is there, and that's something that they've kind of fallen off a little bit lately. We'll see. I don't know. Like, someone asked me the other day, like, are they a tournament team? And I was like, well, you know, I kind of see them as maybe that, you know, 8 or 9 seed right now in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think they're a team that could get there, but I don't know how far they can go. But that's just based on right now. A lot will depend on, like every other team, just how much they grow and, you know, just how well they play together.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to be talking about Arizona in that manner. And they host Iowa State Monday, but let's get to ASU football. Herm Edwards, one of my favorite guys. I just, you know, always admire his moral compass. His hiring shocked me. I mean, he hadn't been in the college game for about 30 years. So how would you describe the reaction from fans you hear from and those around the program when his name surfaced and he actually got the gig?
People were surprised. And they were a little angry. Ty Graham was pretty popular among the fan base, and they felt like you know, he was kind of put on notice going into his final season that they needed to show improvement. And I think you could make an argument that they did. They finished second in the South. But I think Ray Anderson, the athletic director, had made up his mind before the end of the season that he wanted to go in a different direction. And the fact that he used to represent, when he was an agent, he used to represent Herm Edwards when Herm was in the NFL, didn't go over well with a lot of people. And, you know, they just felt like it, they just thought it seemed like that Ray was bringing in one of his old buddies. But, so there was a lot of backlash.
Sure.
Since then, once they got to know him and see Herm, and winning, of course, helps. I think a lot of people have kind of, you know, kind of, as Herm says, boarded the train. That's what Herm likes to say. I think they've kind of bought into his vision of the program, and like I said, it doesn't hurt that they kind of position themselves to possibly win the South.
You know, once upon a time around here, you couldn't talk about injuries. Now they're more rational. And I saw yesterday you tweeted about N'Keal Harry, who's just fantastic. So what's his status? And I know you've seen great ones there, Derek Hagan. But seeing this guy day in, day out, just how terrific a player is he?
Well, I'll start with his status. He was he hasn't practiced. Going into today, practice was closed to the media today. He hadn't really practiced much at all this week. He did go through a walkthrough, Herm Edwards said, but, you know, during the open parts of practice, he had not been out there. But Herm Edwards, you know, he has that NFL background, so he's not, he will give his veteran guys a day off. And that's kind of how he had described what's going on with N'Keal. We don't even know for sure what his injury is, so they've kind of kept that from us. But, you know, he said that he's going to play on Saturday. I don't think there's any doubt that he won't play. But as far as what kind of player he is, he's the most receiver that I've seen during my 10 years covering the program. He's just, you know, he's not the fastest receiver, but he is 6'4". He's extremely strong, has very strong hands. And if you get him the ball in space, he's going to make things happen. He's really good, just getting the ball, a busted play. He's really good at traversing field. and then finding holes. He kind of runs the ball like a running back, and he's really, really dangerous. If he can make you miss once, he's tough to bring down.
No, he's the type of guy, if he has the ball, you don't breathe till the play is over. We're talking ASU football with Doug Haller. You tweeted a story by C.J. Holmes on the running back, Eno Benjamin, who's on a pace to break the single-season rushing record. I'm old. I remember Woody Green, who played for Frank Cush in the old WAC. You deal with these guys in person, and just reading about him, watching him, accurate to say he's got that great talent of kind of combo of being talented and also seems to be a pretty level-headed, humble guy.
Yeah, no question. This is kind of his first year on the stage. I mean, he was in the program last year and played as a true freshman, and we saw during preseason that he had some pretty special vision. His vision was real good. He has great patience, but he had two senior running backs in front of him, so he really didn't get to play much. This year, people were expecting him to have a good season, but no one envisioned this. He's depending on which stat you choose, whether it's total rushing yards or rushing yards per game, he's in the top three or four of the country in rushing yards. They've really kind of modeled off after him. Herbert kind of prefers a run-dominant approach, and he's just really good. He's hard to square up. He doesn't take many direct hits. He's really good at making people miss. He has a great spin move. I wrote earlier about, LaDainian Tomlinson, the NFL Hall of Famer, kind of worked with him on the spin move. Huh. And he's just a really talented kid. And he's one of these guys that he's really smart. He studies. He goes into the meeting. Really, if you watch the ASU sideline during the game, when he comes off the field, he spends a lot of time with the offensive line coach, just the two of them. Drawing up plays and blocking schemes on the board, just kind of showing how Eno's going to read those blocks and react to them.
Nah, it's a great story. I think also the quarterback, Manny Wilkins, with Rosen and Darnold going in the first round, obviously a lot of talk about the Duck, Justin Herbert, certainly Khalil Tate. Maybe Wilkins flew under the radar a bit, but, for those not paying attention, you see him full time. He's having a really, really good season.
Yeah, Manny's been, this is his third year starting. He's never really been fully appreciated by the fans here. I think that's starting to kind of change a little bit. But he's had a rough go of it. His sophomore year, he was hurt most of the year, and yet he's a tough kid, so he played through it not very well because of those injuries. And then, this is his fourth year in the program. He's had a different offensive coordinator all four of those years. So it seems like every year, during the offseason and the preseason practice, when quarterbacks really start to grow, he's had to learn. So it's taken him. He's had some obstacles, but you're right. He struggled a little bit midseason. There was a loss at Stanford at home where he made some questionable decisions on a final drive that cost him for having a chance to possibly win the game. So fans kind of turned on him a little bit as those things happen. But he's really played well down the stretch. He's a really likable kid. He's one of those guys that just kind of he cares. I mean, and that's the biggest thing. He just cares. He's devastated when they lose. He's just become kind of the face of the program, and a type of kid that if you're around him a lot, you wanted to see him do well. And he wanted to go, growing up in high school, Oregon was the school he wanted to go to. He told us this week that I think he said he was a sophomore in high school that he went to one of Oregon's campus, was the MVP there, and so he thought his scholarship offer was coming, and that was his school, his dream school, and it never came. So maybe that's a little extra motivation for him.
You mentioned the offensive coordinator, and when Coach Edwards took over, one of the first things he did is he promoted Rob Likens to the OC. He talked about continuity, and of course now you've got the value of hindsight 10 games in. ASU, they've only lost 3 fumbles, only 4 interceptions, so I guess safe to say that looks like that's been a pretty wise decision.
Well, Rob Likens was the receivers coach last year, and then when they made the coaching change, continuity was a big thing that Ray Anderson wanted to, he wanted to keep the offensive coordinator of last year, a guy by the name of Billy Napier. Well, Billy Napier left and decided to become the head coach at Louisiana. So they had an opening there, and they weren't really expecting that. So they just promoted the receivers coach to offensive coordinator. Now, he had been an offensive coordinator in the past at different places, most recently Kansas, but had not had a lot of success. So he was a question mark coming into this year. His background is a lot of with Sonny Dykes and Air Raid. So he came in with kind of a reputation of liking to throw the ball. And then Herm Edwards, you know, said, no, we're going to run it. So there was a little bit of, you know, it was a little rocky at times, especially around midseason when they struggled a little bit. They really couldn't figure out how to both run the ball and get N'Keal Harry involved. But lately they've figured that out. And really the offense is finally, everyone expected the offense to kind of carry this team. It's taken a while to get to that point, but they're now starting to play as everyone expected them to.
I always like to wrap things up with kind of the view from the outside of, we always talk about being in the Oregon bubble. You know, we analyze them, read about them, talk about them. So from your chair and talking with the coaches and players and your observations, what's kind of the read on the Oregon team the Sun Devils are preparing for?
Well, they're... There's so many things before we even get to the actual team. Arizona State hasn't won there in a while. I think they've lost their last four at Austin Stadium. You know, they don't do well, or historically they haven't done well in that region of the country at this time of year. It's going to be cold. There are stats that show that they don't do well in you know, cooler temperatures. They haven't played great on the road this year. They're 1-3. Their one win was against USC, where they had to kind of fight to, you know, kind of squeak it out. And that was when USC had to start their third-string quarterback. So there's a lot of adversity, a lot of obstacles that they have to clear. But obviously, you know, everyone comes first with the quarterback and how that's going to look and how that's going to work. And Arizona State is banged up defensively. As you know, that's not unusual. Most teams are banged up this time of year. But you know, Arizona State. Depth on defense isn't the greatest. So when they have to go to their second and 13th, that means you're throwing people out there like, you know, true freshmen, and they're already starting three true freshmen as it is on defense. So it's just if they get into a situation where some of their guys who are injured can't go, you know, what is that going to look like? So that's kind of been where the whole thing is how they're going to slow down, you know, that passing game, you know, with guys that have never really been in the situation before.
All right. Well, don't give a pep talk to the defense, Doug. I'm asking you that. Anyway, folks, he's one of the best in the biz, always spot on information and insight. He's Doug Haller. On Twitter, use the handle at Doug Haller. And by the way, spend the dough, subscribe to The Atlantic. I did it today. It's worth it. Great. The Atlantic? The Athletic. Sorry, Doug. I'm a putz. Great reporters doing terrific work. Doug, always appreciate the time. You travel safe, and thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, I appreciate you having me.
All right, take it easy.